Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, y'all, Seven Rounds in Heaven is back. We're brought to you by Sports Drink. Every time it looks like a weak slate of games, it ends up being legendary. College football is the best sport in the world, baby. It is I, Rob Paul, a.k.a. an aspiring yell leader at Texas A&M, the most prestigious of jobs. And with me, as always, is AJ. Texas is back again? Marchese.
Can you give me your best roast for the upcoming Miami Hurricane game at this week's Midnight Yell? I want to hear just a little preview.
Oh, you guys don't even have a turnover chain. Ooh. Well, guess what we've got? Agriculture, baby. Yeehaw. I assume it's something like that.
It's something like that. I'm one of the guys in overalls behind you, like just smiling or whatever they do.
Nevin Shapiro's in jail. Today we're talking all the NFL draft prospects who killed, milled, and drilled during week two of college football. Let's hit it!
Seven rounds in heaven with my baby. Driving out to KC, maybe. Looking for Stroud or a Bryce Young.
Who's gonna wear a Hawaiian shirt today?
Who's gonna put ketchup on a stick?
Who's gonna find a steal in the fifth? The home team. Let's go seven rounds. Let's go seven rounds together. Let's go seven rounds forever. And that's a song.
Today's episode of Seven Rounds in Heaven is brought to you by Sports Drink, your digital water cooler. Sports Drink is a newly created internet community that tries to find the intersection of sports and not sports. They're here to help us grow and to hate your favorite team. A rising tide lifts all boats, so go check them out online or on social. Go to sportsdrink.org or open Instagram and type in @sportsdrink, spelled like sportsdrink without the vowels. All we ask is that you close the door behind you. We're trying to not let the funk out. Well, Lincoln, Nebraska finally let the funk out.
Oh, man.
Got rid of Scott Frost. First fire of the season. The coaching carousel's heating up. Before we get into our NFL draft superlatives, AJ, I just quickly wanted to ask you to do a 10-minute monologue on the Scott Frost era at Nebraska.
Sure. So from small beginnings of lowly Orlando, Florida. Look, they should have left him in Dublin. That would have been so much better.
What upset you more, the Queen dying or Scott Frost being fired?
Scotty. Got to be Scotty. It was more surprising, like the timing of it, you know?
No, I don't know. He lost to Clay Helton. Clay Helton's Georgia Southern offense put up more yards on Nebraska than anyone ever a year removed from running the triple option. That's insane.
Oh, they're so bad.
I feel bad for Casey Thompson. Just Casey Thompson.
Agreed.
Two questions before we get into it. If you were Trev Albert, the Nebraska AD, who would you hire? And then I also want to hear who you think they'll actually hire.
I don't know. It's such a weird job. I saw that Feldman list, and I'm like, these all make sense, you know. I don't know, but like who the fuck would want that job?
Well, that's why I didn't totally on his and Chris Vanini's list. I think Chris Klieman, the Kansas State head coach, was on both, and it feels like he's got that thing trending in the right direction. Yeah. And like I get that. Kansas State isn't a top-tier Power 5 job, but Nebraska isn't anymore either.
No, it's not.
Like, I'm sure their boosters would, like, if they really wanted Chris Klieman, pay him enough for him to take it, but, like, just, I don't think Nebraska's some upgrade. Like, Manhattan, Kansas is beautiful, you know?
Like, why would Matt Campbell take the job?
That one felt weird, too, because, like, it's kind of lateral. Maybe it's a step up, theoretically, just because of clout. Like,
yeah,
brand name. But wouldn't you – he's been so picky that wouldn't you rather just keep winning 8 games, 9 games at Iowa State and being – known as like a program builder than trying to actually rebuild Nebraska that's just in shambles where the expectations are so much higher. Like, Nebraska has to be one of the worst Power 5 jobs given what the fan base expects out of you and what's actually possible with that job.
Well, not to mention, you know, the Big 12 is about to get softer and the Big 10 is about to get harder too. Like why fuck around?
The not only are USC and UCLA joining, but like going divisionless too, so they're like they won't have the benefit of being the easier West. Division. I think the two names at the top of my list would be, if I was trying for just like true, like we have to accept we are never going to be national contenders anymore. Like, we're trying to just be a respectable program. I think Lance Leopold at Kansas makes the most sense, but he just signed an extension with Kansas and just upset West Virginia. And if you're looking for more, like, combination of culture but excitement, I don't know. I think Jamie Chadwell at Coastal is really interesting.
I think if I was in Nebraska, that's my pick.
Like, that's more fun than a lot of the other names that are out there. Ultimately, I do think they will hire Matt Campbell, though. I think they'll just dump a load of money at his feet.
And Iowa State, they're down this year, so, like, the timing kind of makes sense.
But he finally beat Iowa this year.
Yeah.
I don't know. I none of them. I feel like there's no clear. Oh, it's gonna be this guy.
Mm-hmm. It's like Scott Frost was.
Yeah, exactly. And so maybe that's a good thing.
Yeah. No, I think Leipold is kind of like, I don't know. I don't know who I'd put my money on, but I guarantee Nebraska fans won't be happy.
No, I feel like unless they get. Like, the way USC got Lincoln Riley, the way Miami got Mario Cristobal, because they think of themselves.
Who the fuck would go?
Dabo, baby! What do you mean?
Oh, okay. Okay, that makes sense. But, like, for real. Yeah, there you go.
Jimbo Fisher might want to get at a College Station.
I fucking would. I would. But
I'm just like,
can you get at a College Station? That remains to be seen.
I saw Mark Stoops floated, and I just don't understand why he would do that.
Yeah. That'd be a good hire, but
oh, yeah, big time. I just... yeah. That man's going to get the best job in America.
So true.
You know what I do think was an interesting one? Bronco Mendenhall.
I saw
that floated.
I saw that, too. That's out of nowhere, but it's fun.
I feel like Nebraska fans would hate it, but it'd be, like, the smart hire. Like, they'd be winning 8 games again, at least.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Being a Nebraska fan just seems like it sucks, so I'm glad I'm not one.
They should just go back to the Big 12.
The Big 8.
Yeah.
Southwest Conference. All right, College Football Week 2 Superlatives 2023 NFL Draft Edition, which is every week.
Special edition.
But actually starting with guys who aren't eligible till 2026. With our best freshman of the week.
Does Quinn Ewers get it for a quarter of football?
Yeah, I think he has to be put here. Mainly because he was electric in the quarter of football he played.
Yeah, anyway, he threw like 3 touchdowns that were dropped.
Yeah, so statistically he went 9 for 12 with 134 yards, but he was just slinging it. Had multiple touchdowns dropped. The play before the play he got hurt on was that huge completion down the right sideline to Xavier Worthy.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like they were going to be in it. And, like, the fact that they only lost by 1 point to Alabama with Hudson Card, who, like, is not good.
And he was hurt.
And he was limping around. It makes me think, like, if Quinn Ewers stayed healthy, I wonder what could have happened.
They would have won. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. Texas is back. When Ewers is back, I think that's clear.
Okay. Quinn Ewers, hey, that was like our first real look at him, and
Yeah, he looked really good.
He's got an arm and he's willing to use it. That was fun.
He also just looks like he's Texas, you know? He looks like Texas.
I appreciate so much his aesthetic.
Arch got to go somewhere else. I'm going to say it. You know, he doesn't fit Texas. Quinn does.
Well, it's like Quinn didn't fit Ohio State. Like, no. You couldn't imagine that guy trotting out for Ryan Day in the Scarlet and Gray. But in the burnt orange?
Yeah, baby.
Arch should go to Tennessee. We both know
he should, absolutely.
Imagine, like, putting up those Hendon Hooker numbers.
Could he? We'll see.
That's a quarterback competition of the year next year. But yeah, Quinn Ewers, at minimum, fun college quarterback, at maximum NFL draft prospect in a couple of years. But now, at what, 4-6?
I think that, yeah.
After that, I think it gets a little bit more cloudy. I got a late night one I'll go to. BYU receiver Chase Roberts. BYU's top two receivers were out against Baylor. Freshman Chase Roberts, a 6'4", do-it-all man, stepped up. 8 catches, 122 yards, but also threw a 22-yard touchdown to Jaren Hall on a screen pass across the field. It was really cool. Jaren Hall caught the ball well, so maybe he's got a future as a receiver if it doesn't work out at quarterback. But Chase Roberts' size and athleticism stood out. He had a sweet touchdown catch in the back corner of the end zone before the half. Jaren Hall was thriving with him when they started getting going just before halftime.
Is Jaren Hall the prospect who made you look stupid this week?
I don't know. He's still 26.
I only have one other freshman. I'm going to that Penn State Ohio game, the game of the week, if you will. Their running back, Nicholas Singleton, who didn't do too much against Purdue, got another 10 carries in this game and put up 179 and 2 touchdowns. Looked really good.
I opted not to tune into this game, but that's good to hear because he was the number one running back recruit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like again, every like young Penn State running back after Saquon's been like hyped, but Singleton's like looks legit. Like he's 6'2", 220. Go ahead.
He looks like an NFL back. Yeah. Even in that opener where he didn't get a lot going, he looked like an NFL.
Yeah,
back.
Smooth mover, really good speed. You know, was killing those Bobcat angles on the run. He had like a 44-yard touchdown run, breaking tackles. Yeah, he looks legit.
Are Penn State running backs back with what Saquon did in week one?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I think they're connected, you know.
Speaking of NFL week one, Travis Etienne didn't have the great game, but hey, his little brother Trevor looked pretty good against Kentucky. He had a touchdown run. He looks like he's going to be more than just Travis's brother.
Yeah, he might be better than Travis right now. You're right.
Yeah, he's well built too. They list him at 5'9", 217.
He is. Yeah, you know, he looked good. Florida sucks. More on that, but he looked good.
Florida stinks, but yeah. And speaking of bloodlines, best sophomore.
Yeah, it's obviously Marvin Harrison Jr.
But if you want to slash it, Marvin Harrison Jr. and Emeka Ekbuka.
Yeah, I put both.
They combined for 11 receptions, 302 yards, and 4 touchdowns. And I know it was Arkansas State, but coming off that Notre Dame game where it doesn't look as good a victory now given what happened to Notre Dame. And with JSN out against Ark State, seeing Marvin Harrison have that breakout game and Ekbuka build on that opener, I think was pretty exciting. Because obviously they lose Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave first round in the NFL draft, return JSN. Ekbuka looks good as like that Chris Olave kind of nuanced route running safety net, and Marvin Harrison as that big play player like Garrett Wilson was. I think those two, and with JSN supposedly back for the big Toledo game this week, it's exciting because it looks like three NFL level receivers playing with the best quarterback in the country.
Ekbuka had that awesome punt return touchdown call back early in the game too. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean Marvin Harrison Jr. was just fucking dominant. Like he had the yak plays too, and then the big contested catches, like flashing body control. He looks pretty elite. Like Dan Brugler tweeted out that like he said he'd be the first wide receiver drafted if he was eligible, and like I don't know if I disagree. It's just like, you know, the sample size is holding him back, but by the end of the year, I would tend to believe that right now, you know? Plus, like, a lot of the top receivers have been kind of underwhelming to start the season, so.
Big time. I mean, JSN's been hurt. Quentin Johnston had another nothing type of game for TCU. Keyshawn Boutte, same deal. Didn't put up big numbers against Southern.
Downs has been hurt.
There's one guy who we'll get to, but outside of him, who I don't think a lot of people are viewing as the number one receiver in the class anyway, Marvin Harrison kind of has it all in terms of the height, weight, speed, and now the stats.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's going to be scary to see what he can do this year with a full year. Okay, I was going to put Caleb Williams next, but since we're meshing to Ohio State guys, next guy is J.J. McCarthy, baby.
Fuck. I was hoping we'd avoid this.
No.
Played Hawaii and didn't even cover.
No, but they pulled him. He would have covered by himself. Cade looked like shit. He was 11. He did. He was 11 of 12, 229, three touchdowns. He was a fucking electric.
He earned the starting job.
He earned it, baby.
Did Harbaugh do this just to ensure Cade wouldn't transfer in case J.J. McCarthy got hurt?
Maybe.
That seems like a slime ball move, opposite of what Dave Aranda did. So it feels like something Harbaugh would do.
I mean, because to me, it's like, I don't know. You watch that and be like, how was this a toss up after camp? You know, because like the arm is legit with JJ. The athleticism is obviously there, and he had the one throw where he's scrambling up and just laced one to the corner. It was for a touchdown. It was nasty. I mean. Instant. He's a monster. National championship game. Here we come.
Yeah. They're not going to win the Big Ten with Michael Hall hunting them. Michael Hall did get hurt against Arkansas State, but I just want to point out he had another three TFLs.
Can we call him the Bay Harbor Butcher?
Yeah, that's so sick.
Can I make the connection for you?
Please.
Michael Hall. Michael C. Hall played Dexter. That was Dexter's name as a serial killer.
Never seen it.
Showtime, put it on right now.
Yeah?
Watch all 8 seasons. The last couple are shit, but...
Have you finished this up for us?
Yeah, I'll finish the rest of the show. Just no, you gotta stay on the show. Just watch Dexter. All
right.
Put your headphones on.
Every once in a while?
Yeah.
Apparently, Michael Hall is gonna be okay. Okay, but Caleb Williams.
Mm-hmm.
That first half against Stanford, USC could do whatever they wanted. Yeah. And obviously, Stanford's not a great program or anything, but just... It felt like they could score whenever they wanted. They wanted to pick up 15 yards, they could do it. It wasn't just Caleb Williams. Like, it was Addison. It was Mario Williams. Yep. It was Travis Dye looked great. Austin Jones even coming in the short yardage situations at times. The offensive line played awesome. Your boy Andrew Voorhees. Caleb Williams threw for 341, 4 touchdowns. Obviously, the second half, they kind of slowed up. But he looks like the top quarterback for 2024. Yeah. My question is, I know we're two weeks in. Who's leading the Heisman? Is it Caleb Williams?
I know they haven't played anyone, but
if you were to just be like, here's my Heisman rankings.
Bryce Young's the only one with the Heisman moment, so.
Okay, I mean, that's true. He went into Austin and he won.
I mean, I guess
they have similar stats. It would be Bryce Young, I think you're right. But like, it'd be Bryce Young, Caleb Williams, CJ Stroud carved up Ark State, baby.
Yeah.
But if you had to wager who will win the Heisman 2 weeks into the season, who do you think it will be?
I don't know. I guess I'll bet Caleb Williams because that looks so fucking easy.
And he gets the hype. And buzz bump, and like people would be like, USC's back. I know there's a West Coast bias, of course, but like people are just gonna be talking about Lincoln Riley and Caleb Williams all year, even if they only end up winning like 10 games, which is still a lot for them for what we've seen from USC. Like that's gonna get more buzz than Bryce Young putting up the same numbers as last year.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, and they should win the conference,
exactly. Like, Oregon choked immediately.
Yeah, and Utah, I mean, they lost, but...
choked immediately as well.
Yeah.
To a Florida team who might not be as good as...
also choked immediately.
Yeah. Like, Washington and Washington State are the next up.
Yeah, baby.
So, I don't know. I feel like he would be the best bet right now.
Yeah. Softest schedule, probably. Like, you know, there's no SEC defenses.
Although, hey, Hey, Nikosi Perry's second in the country in passing yards.
Is that your
Casey
bet?
Casey Thompson's third. Poor oh, Casey actually, Thompson. The top five is hilarious. It's Drake May, Nikosi Perry, Casey Thompson, Davis Brin at Tulsa, and Kyle Van Trees at Georgia Southern.
That's sick. Van Trees my guy. You remember that?
I do. And Chase Brown leads the country in rushing.
That's actually sick.
It is sick. Ali Jennings, remember how high I was on him? He's first in the country in receiving yards.
Look at you.
I know. Your guy Kalen Stokes is second. Sorry, I'm taking us off the path of
Weekday Warrior, Rob. We didn't have much of a slate here. There's not much going on the weekdays.
Yeah. That's why I need the like Wednesday night Sunbelt games in October and the Maction in November. Like September, someone's got to own the Wednesday in September somehow, you know?
Well, it looks like Louisville's owning the Fridays in September.
It's kind of, I do think that's smart.
Yeah, and that's why my Weekday Warrior's got to be Millie Cunningham. I think he's Mr. Friday Night, baby.
I'm pretty sure like three times last year we picked him too. They're always playing on Thursday and Friday.
I know. Yeah, it's going to be on primetime again. It's hard not to give it to him because there's not much going on. I know you said you got a deep cut, so I'm excited.
You know they play on Friday again this week, right?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, okay.
I'm excited.
Florida State, baby. J-Trav versus Malik Cunningham.
Ooh, that's a matchup. That's a matchup. The two most underrated fun quarterbacks in the country. I'll say it.
I love it. John Reese Plumlee faltered, though.
So. Yeah, that sucks.
I'll stick with Louisville, though. On their defensive line, Yaya Diaby, 6'4", 270-pound defensive lineman, had a sack and a half, lined up inside a lot. He was on the freaks list. I think he's a guy who's kind of been trending towards a breakout season, and it's going to come, and it's happening.
And you're going to see it again Friday night.
Friday night, for real.
Friday night football, baby.
Friday night football against that terrible Florida State offensive line that's good now, baby. Florida State's going to be ranked by next week.
You calling it?
I'm calling my shot.
I like it.
All right, let's stop messing around. Let's get to the good stuff. Best offensive prospect of the week.
Jordan Addison, who already alluded to, is my best offensive prospect of the week because he was so fucking good. It made it look so easy. 7 catches, 172, 2 touchdowns.
The two touchdowns in different ways, burning him off the top, doing it yak on that screen. That screen call was super nasty too. He's my number one for shooting up the board. He's not my best offensive prospect of the week, but I think he's a very good choice, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, like the yak was there. He toasted Caillou Blue Kelly on the deep on the other touchdown.
On the deep post, yeah.
Yeah, but she had to tackle on both touchdowns, too. Like,
He had another one over the top where he did get tackled, but it was like a 40-yard game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just think it's interesting. Like, obviously, he late transferred to USC. There was, like, so much controversy around it. We heard weird murmurs, like, just before the season that, like, he was unhappy. And then, bam, first game, they're playing Rice, it's whatever, but he still scores 2 touchdowns. Then, kind of with the country watching, I know Stanford's not a great team or anything, but it was the game of the night, and he just toasted everyone. And like we were alluding to earlier, the receiver class has statistically through 2 weeks been a bit of a letdown. And here we have Jordan Addison looking like Devonta Smith, Calvin Ridley out there with what he can do in the open field, his preciseness as a route runner. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important he's winning deep because I did worry about the long speed. But Caillou Blue Kelly's an NFL-level corner and he toasted him.
We talked about Caleb Williams maybe being the bet for the Heisman right now. I think Jordan Addison's like safe money for the Blitnikoff back-to-back.
Yeah. Through 2 games, 12 catches, 226, 4 touchdowns.
It's pretty good.
Plus, maybe he has the best quarterback in the country.
Yeah.
Not named Bryce Young. I went with Bryce Young. I know statistically it wasn't great. 213, a touchdown, 38 on the ground, 5.5 an attempt. I think a lot of that wasn't him. Texas did a really good job defensively. They were blitzing the hell out of him.
Yeah.
And he didn't have a lot of time. And just late in the game, he kind of went into that it factor
He's
mode.
He's got that gamer mode, man.
Yeah, like he was just unfazed. The touchdown pass to Jahmyr Gibbs was ridiculous. I mean, it just not like it kind of just felt like after Texas went up late, they got the ball back. It just knew he was going to do it. Like
it's just like the Iron Bowl last year.
And it's important to note, like, his receivers played terribly.
They played really bad. They played really bad.
Like, no one stepped up for him.
Drops. Yeah, I think that's one of the games where, like, you watch it live until the end, you're like, Bryce Young was not good. And then you go back and watch the tape, it's like, oh, my God, the receivers were fucking shit. I think the one thing is, like, he did struggle with pressure. You know, like, there was the...
They did a really good job. Like, their center played not good football. They blitzed the hell out of him. And, yeah, at times, when they're blitzing up the A-gap, he didn't get the ball off hot a lot of the time.
Yeah.
But also, like, I don't think he trusts anyone. That's why, like, Jahmyr Gibbs became his go-to playmaker.
Right away. Right away, too.
Like, I know Trayshon Holden had a good game the week before, but he's still pretty unproven. I'm more on Jermaine Burton later.
Me too.
Cam Latu's coming off an injury. Like, Kobe Prentice is a true freshman. Like, there's just not a lot here. I don't think Alabama's got that guy that they've had in the past.
Yeah.
And I don't know that Jermaine Burton's going to be that. So, I don't know. And the fact that he could just kind of overcome it all. And I know they should have won by a lot more and they should cover the spread for me. But when you see that, ultimately, it comes away as a positive to me that he is able to do that. Like, he doesn't get frazzled. He doesn't turtle in the end. He kind of puts the team on his back, meticulously carries them down the field, makes that big play, has that Heisman-type moment.
Yeah, like, what was the weakness all game of him, you know, getting blitzed and at times, you know, getting, maybe, like you said, holding the ball a little too long. And then just the ability to turn on at the end and make it the strength, like, break that sack, ran for the first down to seal the game. And I think that was just, that. It is the it factor. He's got it. It's hard to say he doesn't. Like, that's it.
Who's your defensive prospect of the week?
Losing effort, but I thought Gervon Dexter at Florida was just a fucking monster. Oh, yeah.
Remember how I was talking him up?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He's something.
He's something. Oh, yeah.
He also outplayed the box score.
Oh, yeah, I mean, he had, like, 7 total tackles, half a sack, and the pick, but...
The pick was awesome, but he was all over Will Levis. Yeah. He was killing him. He is a rare blend of size and athleticism.
Yes.
I told you he's like a more slender pass rusher or Jordan Davis.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he did a wonderful job kind of clogging the inside running lanes, but then what he was adding as a pass rusher was so impressive.
And then the athletic ability to haul in that pick was just freaky.
Yeah.
No, he was clearly the top defensive dude.
And I think it's funny, a week after we both had defensive tackles, different ones, I had Jalen Carter, you and Brian Brzee. Say his last name?
I think you're right, Brzee.
Okay. I'm always questioning myself.
Me too. I'm not sure about Brzee. That one always gets me. I don't know why.
But, like, those two guys look like top 10 picks. Gervon Dexter does too, though.
Yeah, I think that we finally got a good IDL class. We've, 3 years in a row with bad ones? I mean, other than a couple guys at the top, you know, but no, we finally got a good one, like a high-end one.
It's fun.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah, Dexter, I don't know. I know they lost to Kentucky, but nobody could block him. No. That's a pretty young Kentucky offensive line. He was getting them just with pure athleticism, but saw the power as well. Nice little swim move he's got to him. He also plays very hard.
He does. Oh, yeah. He's got a fucking motor. Yeah, I think, I think this is going to be, like a lot of people's favorite guy. You know, like, they might have Carter above him, which, like, rightfully so. I'm not arguing. I'm just saying. Maybe Brzee above him, but, like, everyone's like, you just want him on the field.
Yeah, he's, I think, coming off this week, like, he's probably our number one riser.
Yeah, yeah.
But speaking of risers, let's get to our shooting up the board. I had Jordan Addison number one on here for myself.
I put Jahmyr Gibbs. And I know it wasn't like this big, flashy on the ground game, but as we talked about already, just what he did in the passing game from the get-go was just dominant. Like, he was so crucial to them moving the football through the game. And if it wasn't for Gibbs, they lose that football game. There's no doubt about that.
He was clearly the only guy Bryce Young truly trusted.
He was wide receiver one on the Alabama Crimson Tide as, like, you know, starting a second game as a running back, obviously. But, like, that's crazy. Like, it had that angle to convert on the 3rd and 6, which was fucking huge.
It was the big Alvin Kamara vibes in which sometimes Kamara won't have an effective game on the ground because the defense is keying in on him there, but they can't stop him through the air. And that was kind of like Gibbs didn't get a lot going on the ground, but he became that go-to pass catcher.
And he did have that one miss assignment on like the big sack on that third down.
Yeah.
His one blemish, but no, exactly. He just kept moving the chains. And like, I feel like there's, I mean, maybe after the quarterback scrambling for a first, it is so frustrating when you're on defense or watching your defense and just constantly check down first to the running back first down. Like you just, that's so demoralizing. And I think it was such a big part of it. They wouldn't have won the game if it wasn't for Gibbs, period.
Agreed. Stick at all with the offensive side of the ball. I'm gonna go Cedric Tillman, who did have a couple drops against Pitt, a
couple big drops, but don't matter.
But in the moment when he needed to make the play, he scored at no tee. 9 catches, 162 yards, a touchdown. He had like 18 targets.
Yeah.
The drop, I think it was like 3 drops, I think, which obviously is a ton. But he was also Hendon Hooker's go-to playmaker, just out-athleting guys. Just being bigger, stronger, faster. Yeah. He looks like a day two X receiver that can really bring some juice to an offense.
Yeah, totally. I mean, one of the drops would have been a touchdown, so that hurts. But also, he got behind the Pitt secondary was wide open, and Hooker just threw a stinker that one early in the game too. Just constantly, they couldn't stop him. They had that one huge game that was like should have been a touchdown, but he was like down at the one. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I didn't love Hooker, by the way. I didn't put him sliding or anything. He got the stats, but I thought it looked better than the play did. Then had the touchdown in overtime, too. Just, like, turn and body the DB. Like, he's a problem. He's a problem.
Who else you got?
I'll do an easy one. Like, I know it was Arkansas State, but C.J. Stroud was just... He turned it the fuck up. I don't know. Like, it's 351 and 4 touchdowns for only 16 completions. Go ahead, yeah.
It kind of felt like they needed that game, just the offense to get loose and like Marvin Harrison to have that breakout, and now JSN's coming back and they're still just playing Toledo, and it just feels like they're going to hit the ground running. He had a slow start last year too.
Yeah, the Oregon game. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I just thought it was too easy. Like the deep ball placement was fucking dominant too. And then so many quarterbacks haven't looked great. And yeah, it was Arkansas State again, but it was just so damn good that I think he deserves the nod here.
I'm going to flip to the defensive side of the ball now, and talk about an Alabama transfer who now plays for Arkansas.
Drew Sanders. I thought
Drew Sanders was awesome. Oh, 11 tackles, 3 TFLs, 2 sacks, broke up a pass to the running back in the flats. They let him on the strip sack he had, they let him just like kind of play edge, which he was a bit of an off ball edge tweener, but has been spending most of his time as an off ball guy for Arkansas. His other sack came on, like, he was just dropping in coverage and just Spencer Rattler rolled out and he just showed off that closing speed to go chase him down. He is so big and athletic. Him and Bumper Pool are really fun because Bumper Pool's like the classic, going to be an all-SEC linebacker who's going to go undrafted and maybe make the NFL on special teams. And then Drew Sanders is this former, like, big blue-chip recruit who's got everything athletically that you could hope for. And I thought he just showed such a strong skill set to be able to impact the game as a pass rusher, as a run stuffer, as an off-ball linebacker, and play in coverage. I'm interested to see where he ends up because not a lot of linebackers in this class that I think could be top 100 picks. Like, I know it's top-heavy, but I think it falls off quick.
He's going to be, like, the quietest, biggest riser, right? I think, through the first 2 weeks. Like, for, like, guys who are, like, not just overall biggest, but quietest, biggest.
Yeah.
Because there's two great games. Like, that's the stats to back him up, too. And I think, you had touched on a good point that, like, there's a couple, like, you know, real solid dudes at the top of the linebacker group. But, yeah, it kind of thins out. And even, like, Sewell doesn't look that good. Like Simpson's look good, but... No, there are lots of opportunities for Sanders. I'm going to flip the side back and go to two backs in the same game. One in Cameron Peoples because he carried the App State, but had the big boy run at the end of the game to seal it. He's my guy. I just I had to give that respect, like, to fucking to seal the game. And for Tammy, Devin Deshane's the only good football player on that roster. Like, he's
the kick return touchdown was sick.
It was so awesome. Like, yeah, 95-yard, housed it. Had that awesome run, too, for the touchdown at 66 yards on 10 carries. Like, just plays at a different speed. And, again, only good player on that fucking roster. And I thought both these backs were, like, again, not like some big monster games from either of them. And, obviously, Shane and the Aggies lost, but Cameron to seal it and Shane to be the only good player on his roster. I had to give him some shout outs.
Do you have anybody else?
Yeah, I'll do two quick ones, both on defense here. Deshaun Jameson, I know he dropped the interception. That would have been huge. It hurts, but he played that route so fucking great. He jumped that perfectly. And I thought he was just really, really, really solid in coverage all game. And I know we talked about how, like, this Bama group isn't that good, but still, to show up, and we went into the week talking like this Texas defense is not going to be able to hang. And that whole defense stepped up. Maybe not hit he above all, but he had a great game, and I think that's just like cementing himself as, like, you know, moving into this, you know, rising up the boards and moving maybe like early day three range, maybe higher.
Yeah. I didn't want to step on your toes because I know he's your guy, because I also had him written down.
Anyone else for you?
I'll go Tyler Barron, the Tennessee edge rusher. He had the strip sack where he lined up like at one tack, and he was lining up kind of all over the defensive line. In the summer, I was most interested in him because of his athleticism and his motor, which you saw, like, the relentlessness of him, but the ability to show off some improved hand strength and the flexibility to kick inside too, I thought was really, really interesting.
He was, like, borderline unblockable in stretches.
Yeah, he was really fun. And Kentucky linebacker Jordan Wright, who was ineligible for their opener, got back for the game against Florida, and they just kind of had him spy Anthony Richardson for a lot of the game. Mm-hmm. He ended up with two TFLs and a pick, and the pick was really important and really impressive.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. I'll throw one just quick. One of my interior defensive lines from the summer, I thought he had a good game against Stanford. I like the stats backed up. I like four TFLs. I don't know where his stock is right now, but I am a fan of his.
Yeah, you were big on him over the summer.
There's some people that are really high on him, and some people are just not. I don't think you're a big fan. It's kind of over the place.
I'm like early day three.
Oh, okay.
Day three?
Yeah, I think I was like early day three, yeah.
Okay.
Talent is there, though. That was my point.
Sliding down the board? I think we should just start with just the quarterbacks not named Bryce Young and CJ Stroud. We're going to all try and find, and I did this last week, we're all going to try and find who the guy we want to claim is the third quarterback and, like, our guy and all this jazz. And it's going to be a roller coaster ride of a season.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the quarterbacks have been underwhelming after those first two. We get our first big look at Tyler Van Dyke this week against Texas A&M, though. Will Levis, I think, played the best this week, and he didn't have a great game. No, obviously, that big touchdown throw was impressive, and he did enough to win the game. He was a little up and down.
Yeah, I put him in overhyped. I got another one there, too, because, he beat Florida. He outplayed the one we're about to name, but yeah, he wasn't that good. Like, he kind of looked like how he usually looks.
Like, the tools are there. Which is, like, you can see the tools, and you're like, some things are saying, like, that touchdown throw.
The deep post was, nice. And, like, some, like, you know, just staying on time, solid chain movers.
Jim Nagy tweeted a video saying this is what a quarterback should look like.
He's not wrong. But, yeah, I thought, like, again, struggle feeling pressure. Yeah. I had that one where he turned his head and just got his fucking bell wrong. Like he didn't know he's getting pressure. Like, I don't know. I just thought it was meh. And, like, the stats aren't even good either if you want to, like, for the casuals. Like, I don't know.
Obviously, on the other side, Anthony Richardson. Yeah. I put him for being overhyped because I overhyped
him. That's a good choice. Yeah, I mean,
But threw for 143 and two picks. Completed 40% of his throws, ran for 4 yards, and averaged 4.1 an attempt against Kentucky. He was their main problem. He just was not seeing the field well. Was not on the same page with his receivers. Like, the pick six was
terrible.
Just, like, not on the same – like, he thought the receiver was running a hook. The receiver, like, ran a go. He threw it anyway. He wasn't moving as well because early in the game he, like, kind of hurt his ankle. And that wasn't a big talking point, and that clearly impacted him, because when the passing game's not going well, he can rely on his legs normally, and he wasn't really able to do that. And like I said, they had Jordan Wright kind of spying them all game. Kentucky had a really good game plan for him. But I need to realize that, hey, maybe I shouldn't be crowning a guy after his second start. I know he took down Utah and put up those numbers. Everything still looked like, I still think at some point we got a first-round quarterback here, but maybe it's not this year. He's a redshirt sophomore.
Yeah.
But, hey, there's still a lot of season left, and he could very well help himself again. It's just like that's what the quarterback class normally is. That's what the college football season is. We're, like, riding a roller coaster of crowning a guy and then being like, mm-hmm. oh, backing it off. And, like, come April, like, he might be where we said he was last week, or he might not be in the draft at all.
Yeah. No, I think that was a good summation there, Ronnie. I don't think you'd be surprised, you know, that he's coming along slowly as a passer, but this was a huge step backwards. Like, I don't know.
I do want to say I took Kentucky's +6 for a reason.
Smart. Hedging your bets. That was smart. But wasn't seeing anything. Wasn't even feeling anything. The INTs were so bad, like you said. You kind of hit on it all. But yeah, just like losing the running ability, that just took all the spark out of his game. Like it was like Emory Jones out there.
and just more quarterback talk. Like Tanner McKee
sucked.
They're running like heavy RPO offense, which was weird to watch Stanford do.
The long mesh too. It sucked.
His ball placement is not good. Like, no. He missed a lot of throws. And, like, his stats look, like, obviously through the two picks, but, like, his stats look, like, better than his actual game was.
Yeah, totally. Like, lots of overthrows. Like you said, the placement was shit. Through the
offense with the slow mesh RPO, and, like, yeah. Playmakers, too.
Yeah, a couple. Like, I thought Jurecek didn't look bad, like, what he was given. Like,
Higgins didn't get enough opportunity.
No, totally. Through the interception on the goal line too, which was kind of like just, I don't know. Like, if you watch that play, it's like, oh, not like a terrible throw, but I don't know. I thought it was pretty shit. I don't know.
I just don't think he looked like some first round quarterback at all.
No, like, no, not in the least.
Like, even fit, like, he doesn't have the physical tools either. That's why I just think it's so strange. I also threw Spencer Rattler down just because his stats look okay. I thought he missed a lot of throws.
Yeah.
Like, his arm is so big, though. He's got a top three arm in this class. But he was overshoot. Like, the touch just isn't there. And their offensive line's so terrible. And he doesn't do a great job creating on his own.
Yeah.
Threw a pick, had three fumbles, lost one of them. I think another year for Spencer Rattler at South Carolina is likely.
Yeah. And probably wise.
Yeah.
I put Caillou Blue Kelly for getting toasted by Jordan Addison. Like you already said, like that's an NFL corner, but not looking too sharp against Addison, so I thought threw him here. Do you have anyone else?
I got a couple. Okay, I thought Brake Freeland, the BYU left tackle, had a terrible showing.
I didn't focus. I mean, I went to bed pretty early.
The next morning. I watched it, and oh my goodness, I think he only allowed one sack, but like so many pressures, a lot of. What made Jaren Hall so spectacular is avoiding pressures caused by Brake Freeland.
Mm.
Baylor's got a athletic and deep defensive line. Gabe Hall and this other edge just were getting the best of them all game. You can see the athleticism in the length, but he plays really high and he's just not that strong. So like power just was getting giving him hell.
And you saw it in the summer too, right?
Exactly.
Okay, you give me your last guy, and then I'm going to give you – I want to start a conversation. A dumb one, but I want to start it.
I got like seven guys.
Oh, my God, you're so rude.
Jaheim Bell, it's just like
– going after poor Jaheim Bell, man. Come on.
Yeah, he had a drop and like just isn't that involved in the passing game.
Yeah.
He's like he's their Taysom Hill. It's weird.
It's a good take.
He had a touchdown run on like the one-yard line. But it's just like – it's a pretty interesting tight end class, and I think he's a really interesting player.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the offense isn't featuring him. Like, Austin Stogner, Rattler's going to him over the seams. So he just kind of just had no impact in that game. Jermaine Burton.
He was my other overhyped.
Yeah, just I overhyped him. I thought he was going to blow up. He was just not creating separation against Texas. He had a drop, too. He was just – like non-existent. Yeah.
No, I know. I put him over hype. We already talked about a lot of it, but yeah, it's just like he has not materialized into anything at all. And like, I mean, we're talking about like for the first time in years, the Bama game is like so short of pass catching playmakers. They need him to step up, and he hasn't. I mean, they haven't needed him yet, but they will eventually. And just that was not good.
Yeah. I also threw DeMarvian over Sean down.
Yeah, that's fair.
But what was the conversation you want to have?
So, obviously, sliding down the board would be weak or like way too hot. But Will Anderson wasn't that good. Is that fair to say?
No, I disagree.
I mean, like he had the sack at the end to win the game, but the penalties were kind of like what the penalties fuck?
They in the first half they were max protecting, or specifically when yours is in, it was like max protecting, keeping mm-hmm. the tight ends home, and like just doubling up Dallas Turner and Will Anderson. And just like having Xavier Worthy run deep and Quinn Ewers chuck it.
Yeah.
I thought Will Anderson looked really good as a run defender.
Yeah, that awesome backside TFL on Bijan. Yeah. I mean, like, by sliding down the board, I'm like, maybe a team will consider a quarterback over him type of thing. Like, that's all I just wanted to say. He didn't take over this game. And I just thought, it's Will Anderson, so let's talk about him. That's all I kind of want to bring up. Had that really, really, really dumb unnecessary roughness call, too. I thought that was kind of – that was silly. But, yeah, so the penalties were kind of surprising.
He said it was the loudest atmosphere he's ever been in.
Yeah. Texas fans built keep different,
Austin
baby.
Weird.
Yeah, baby.
Speaking of Austin, my out-of-nowhere prospect is, I mentioned Overshown, his teammate next to him, Jalen Ford, their other linebacker. Mm-hmm. I thought they were just blitzing him a ton, and that I was talking about Bryce Young getting blitzed to hell. It was a lot of him, and he was shooting out of a cannon.
Yeah.
I thought he looked really good, and he looked good as a run defender too, just very violent, fast, aggressive downhill player.
Can I give you another Longhorn?
Yeah.
Daniel Trejo, baby, the punter, was killing it out there, dropping them at the goal line. I really like almost 47. Love that so much. But I'll give you my real pick here.
Wait, I just want to say Texas punter U.
It is definitely punter U. Yeah, or the state is punter state for sure.
Also, Bert Auburn, that guy can kick.
Yep, exactly. The names are also always great too. Yeah, Danny Trejo, yeah. Come on. I didn't have like another like big time. So I put Israel Abukanada, the other pit back, because he was behind Hammond, and Hammond was out this week, and Abukanada was like just like their best player maybe on the whole team, like breaking big old runs.
He's fun.
Yeah, had some like really solid size, solid athlete. 25 carries, 154, and a touchdown. Like, that's a good tandem when Hammond is healthy. Like, so just coming out of nowhere as a backup and putting up those numbers on SEC defense. I know it's Tennessee, but an SEC defense. And he looked good doing it. I thought that was a good one to throw out.
For prospect, it made me look stupid other than Anthony Richardson.
Yeah, but the same thing, yeah.
I'll stick at quarterback. I was just so certain Cam Ward would hit the ground running.
I put the exact same thing. I said, outside of Anthony Richardson, my pick is Cam Ward.
Right? Like, he – obviously, they upset they Wisconsin won. In Wisconsin. Yeah. That's huge. But he is
– he was bad.
So raw.
Yeah.
Like, you can see the arm talent, but, like, it just feels like he doesn't know how to play quarterback right now. He barely threw for threw for 200 yards, mm-hmm. touchdown, two picks. Like, their running backs helped him a lot.
Yeah.
Their defense just played really well, and I don't know. They're just not the offensive juggernaut I was thinking they were going to be.
Yeah.
Good thing Dickert's the coach of the year, though.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. I loved Cam Ward in the summer. I'm like, this is a dude. He's got the talent. I felt like he was, like, yeah, trying to just force too much, and just it wasn't coming, and –
Again, it's his second game at the FBS level. He's a redshirt sophomore. So, like, maybe in 2 years it does all finally, like, it comes together in 2 years. Yeah. Like, this is obviously, I just think we both thought it was going to come together instantly.
Yeah, that's on us. That's why it made us look stupid. It's nothing on Cam Ward. It's just made us look dumb. I remember there's one, like, the seam where I think it was the tight end down the seam, or I forget who it was. But, like I'm like, this is going to be the throw. This is going to be the throw to set it all up. It was pretty early in the game. And he just overthrew. I'm like, oh, no. I'm like this is not going to be a great one. Yeah.
Prospect versus prospect matchup?
So, I mean, Levis versus Richardson was the highlight. And I also thought Addison and Blue Kelly was the other highlight. So, I'm kind of tapped out on both fronts, Rob.
I wanted to go somewhere else. So, I got Ricky Stromberg, the Arkansas center, against Zach Pickens, the South Carolina defensive lineman.
That's a good one.
They both played well.
Yeah.
Like, Arkansas ran for 295. Stromberg looked like the center we described in the offseason. Just
yeah.
A big running power running mauler. Pickens made 12 tackles at half TFL. Like, he held up well against a big SEC offensive line. Didn't get a ton going as a pass rusher, but looked like a top 10 interior defensive lineman.
That's a good one. That's Thank a good you. Pick.
It's nice when it's like both guys are good.
Yeah, I'm. You know what? That's a great transition to my outplay of the box score, because I'm sticking on the interior defensive line. I'm sticking against a big SEC offensive line. I'm putting Keandre Coburn, who just had one solo tackle, but like outside of that, like 81-yard run by McClellan, Bama had like 80 yards on 23 carries, and 38 of that was from like Bryce Young scrambling. So the point being is the Texas interior defensive line played a really, really strong game, and I thought that was like Keandre Coburn being a huge part of that, like just absorbing double teams. Taking them on, making plays out of those two, clogging holes. I thought Coburn was really good. This was a really good showing for Coburn. I think that helps. And yeah, like again, we already talked about it. There's just quite a few guys stepped up in that Texas defense. So starting up front, though, like I know it's not the same. Like that's a good Bama interior, though. I know it's not the same Bama running attack, but that's a good interior off the line. And like they started moving them a little bit at the start, and then obviously broke up the big one, and that's when everyone thought the game was going to get away. But Coburn just hunkered down and the rest of the group, and yeah, they look good.
I'm going to stick with a nose tackle in the state of Texas who lost to a ranked team. Siaki Aika against BYU. BYU could not run the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, like, if you were to just look at the numbers, you'd be like, oh, maybe he's a stock down this week.
Yeah.
This dude was blowing guys off the line of scrimmage. Like, every snap, he was absorbing blocks. He was keeping his linebackers clean. Like, he looked awesome against the run. Pushed the pocket a little bit as a pass rusher, but I mean Blake Freeland was just letting whoever lined up over him beat him, so it's like I didn't have time to get there. But yeah, I thought he played the exact type of game you want to see from a nose tackle.
Yeah, no, that's a good one.
My overhyped was Anthony Richardson,
and I was Levis and Jermaine Burden.
Perfect. Who popped on the scene from the transfer portal?
Jordan Addison. Yeah, I did put Jordan Addison. Okay, look, I have it down as transfer of the week. Therefore, it's Jordan Addison. He's the transfer of the week. That's it. I'm done.
Yeah, well, I got a receiver who transferred to a better conference and put up more yards this week against a ranked team.
All right.
Do you have a guess?
I actually don't know.
Antoine Wells, the South Carolina receiver. Right. James Madison transfer. 8 for 189 and a touchdown against Arkansas. They could not cover him, and this was my worry about Arkansas last week, was their DBs, especially Jalen Catalan's down for the year.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, stock down there. But the Arkansas secondary was just getting torched last week, but it didn't matter. This week it mattered a little bit more, but also Spencer Rattler was overthrowing stuff. But Wells was just open all day.
Yeah, and like I didn't think he looked like that. Go ahead, sorry.
He's not super dynamic.
That's what I was about to say, yeah.
He just kept getting open, though.
Mm-hmm, he did. And, like doing yak, but, like, he didn't look that fast. It's like Arkansas just looked, like, bad.
Yeah, it's strange. He's 6'1", 207. Just fairly nuanced guy. Had 1,200 yards and 15 touchdowns at James Madison last year. South Carolina had a handful of guys between like Stogner, Bell, him, Josh Van, Dakari Joyner, there's someone else too, even the Arkansas State receiver transfer, Corey Rucker, I think, and he's emerged as the go-to guy. And he has 244 yards through two games, and true junior, I think, just a really just interesting player.
It's a good one.
Thank you. Speaking of good ones, what small school guy caught your eye?
Gotta go to Marshall, right? Like, I don't want to steal your thunder, but Stephen Gilmore's got to be the headliner here, right?
Yeah, I think obviously the pick six seals it against Notre Dame.
Yeah, but he was good all game too.
He's a good football player.
Yes.
Underrated player. He's also one of those guys who's been in college forever.
Yes, yeah. So I put him as my highlight guy, and I think the Marshall running back, Kalen LeBourne, too, who obviously is.
Do you know his background?
I don't know his background. No, please enlighten me.
Was a blue chip. I think he was at Florida State, didn't come together, and now is at Marshall.
It looked like a blue chip. I mean, they gave him the ball 31 times. He kind of just put the team on his back and carried him.
And obviously that's with Rashee Ali kind of stepping away from football for the time being.
Exactly, yeah. And that's just a step up like that is huge. 163 on the ground.
Charles Huff's got a passion for developing NFL running backs.
Yeah, so. Yep.
I think he's a really interesting one to watch. Obviously, like, if you wanted to throw Cameron Peoples here, too, you already talked about it.
I'll throw one more funny one, because I thought Champ Flemings.
Oh, you steal my thunder? I was building towards this.
Sorry, go.
The 5'5" kid that everyone talked about, like, 3 years ago, because he was 5'5", playing FBS-level football at Oregon State. And like, a solid, like, fourth receiver for Oregon State for, like, 3 or 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now at Arkansas State, and just... does their offense is him 12 touches, 125 yards. He's so fun.
He is so much fun. Yeah.
Okay. He's going to play in the CFL.
Oh yeah. That's a CFL. Like, can't you just imagine like the Bombers winning on a last second Champ Fleming's touchdown?
Yeah. Big time.
Guaranteed. Like, yeah.
I'm very excited about that.
Me too.
Okay. Anyone else before we get to our week 3 picks?
No, let's get to it.
How'd you do last week?
Shit, Rob. I did bad. I had 1 win, 3 losses, and a push.
The listeners are smart if they... I just fade me. I went 3-2, and I was happy about it just because it was like, this could easily have been a week where I went 1-3, mm-hmm. or 1-4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm 6-4 on the season. What are you?
3-6-1.
I'm glad you got that and one.
I hate it. I got it. Like, I think I got one early last year, and it just sang it all year. Just like, such shame.
It's you're like the Colts and the Texans,
mm-hmm.
but not the Steelers and the Bengals.
It looked like it though.
Hard to pick
the games this week, Rob.
Yeah, not a worse slate than last week, but last week ended up being super exciting and fun.
I guarantee you this will be a shit week. I'm putting my stamp on it.
Well, it's like all the ranked teams that are playing, like teams they could possibly lose to, are like ranked teams that really aren't going to matter outside of maybe USC if they somehow lose to Fresno State.
That would be cool.
Do you have, I didn't pick a noon game.
I put one down, but I don't have to do it. Well, I just, well, I I'm not,
you make your own picks.
Okay. This one doesn't count, but take Oklahoma to cover against Nebraska.
I don't know.
No, don't.
Mickey Joseph bump. I'm not picking it. I thought about it though. I was like,
I'm not picking it either. Not picking it either though, but they're going
to, we just don't know enough about Oklahoma yet. I don't think to guarantee that.
No, so yeah, okay. I'm gonna, go ahead, get us started.
Is your first real game 3:30 one then?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll start with 3:30 on Fox, number 12 BYU at number 25 Oregon. Ducks 3.5-point favorites at home. Obviously, they looked terrible against Georgia, but hey, Bo Nix threw 4 touchdowns last week. BYU's coming off like a big double overtime win at home against Baylor. Now they hit the road. They go to the Pacific Northwest. I like the Ducks -3.5. I think this is a super important game for Dan Lanning. I think they've got the dudes on defense, right? Like, they got Brendan Dorlas. They got DJ Jones. They got Sewell and Flo. Our boy Christian Gonzalez. Big game against Jaron Holland for him. So I like that. And plus, they're going to take advantage of Blake Freeland.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is a tough one. I think it's funky. I don't trust the Ducks. I went back and forth. I'm gonna take Oregon.
I don't trust either of them.
I don't trust either of them at all. Really at all.
I'm just gonna lean on the team with more talent.
I think that's a good call.
Bit me in the past though, so just keep that in mind.
But also like at home at Autzen Zoo, like it's.
I just think it's similar to the Kentucky Florida game, coming off a big win over a top 10 team. Then playing another ranked team the following week who's, like, maybe considered lesser. Like, it's just such an upset special. Yeah, and when I say upset, yeah. I mean just the higher ranked team losing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because, of course, the Ducks are -3.5.
Yeah, so we're both taking Ducks?
Yeah, I'll take the Ducks. I'll take the Ducks.
Okay. 3:30 CBS. Number 22 Penn State hitting the road. Taking on Auburn, last year's game was really exciting. Neither team was good in the end. I'm going to take Penn State -3. I don't know. I don't understand how Auburn's 2-0. They've had some of the worst quarterback play in the country. TJ Finley's their starter. Obviously, Tank Bigsby's a really good player. And they got some dudes on defense like Colby Wooden, Derek Hall, Owen Popo. That there's NFL talent, but Brian Hartson's a bad coach. James Franklin's a better coach. I think, like you mentioned, Nick Singleton had his breakout this past week. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be huge for that Penn State offense. Like, Tinsley and Parker Washington, I think, just make too many plays, and I ride the Nittany Lions for the Big Ten.
Sean Clifford's been the biggest roller coaster in college football through the first two games. He's been, like, if you look on paper, good, but if you watch him, he's terrible.
Scary.
It's so weird. So, just to make up a game on you, I'm gonna pick the Tigers. Come on, okay. Penn State go into SEC country. Pff, Jordan Hare rocking, and come on.
I could see, like, I mean, I could see Wooden and Hall just. It's a young Penn State offensive line. Like, if they're getting after Clifford, forcing him into mistakes, like,
yeah,
I could see that being a Auburn, like, 13-10 Auburn win, you know?
The one thing that I will say, and I mean, I don't know if this is a good thing, but if Clifford is shit in the bed, we might see a lair. And he's looked pretty flashy through his first couple attempts, you know?
That's a hard crowd to come in against.
Exactly. Though. Yeah, exactly the point.
I just, truly, the difference to me is just James Franklin versus Brian Harsin.
It's fair. That's fair. I'm going to go with the environment and take the Tigers.
Okay. My next game, 7:30.
Michigan State at Washington?
Yeah, number 11 Michigan State heads to Seattle to take on the Huskies on ABC. Huskies, three-point favorites. We haven't really seen them yet. Kalen DeBoer era has begun. Michael Penix at quarterback. But... I don't know. This is a big, important, I think, game for Mel Tucker, typically because these are the types of games coaches who get paid like him can't lose.
Yeah.
Like, you're number 11. I get that you're the road dog, but you have to win this game. I think they found something interesting with Jalen Berger.
Mm-hmm.
And Peyton Thorne's, like, been fairly efficient.
It's fine.
And then defensively, Jacoby Winman's the best player in the country.
Yeah,
And they got Georgia transfer Amir Speed at corner, who's looked quite good. Like, their transfer you and all these transfers have been impressive.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And are you taking the Spartans?
Yeah, I'm taking the Spartans.
I am too. Getting points. I haven't watched this Husky team yet, but I don't trust it. I just don't trust it.
Like, Michael Penix is a fun player, but
he's so turnover prone, and like they know him too.
And,
you know, like,
and they don't have like. A true NFL, like, Jalen McMillan's been putting up numbers, but they don't have like a true stud on that offense to lean on, I don't think. And even defensively, like, ZTF doesn't look like he's it. Like, Cam Bright, the Pitt linebacker, is like their best player.
I didn't realize that. Yeah.
Yeah,
no, I think just like Michigan State will just get into, you know, a down and dirty game, and you know, it's probably going to be like a 17-14 Michigan State win.
Yeah, exactly. Like, because they're plus three, I feel comfortable with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
9 p.m. ESPN?
Yeah, let's do it.
We got number 13 Miami, technically the game of the week. It would have meant a lot more if Texas A&M didn't flub it against App State. 9 p.m. ESPN, number 13 Miami, plus 5.5 at number 24 Texas A&M. Kyle Field is the place to be. I'm taking the Hurricane. I don't know. That Texas A&M showing was so pathetic. There's just so much bad juju in the air about this Aggies squad right now.
Yep.
Mario Cristobal, I feel like, does a good job when his team's the dog. Like, he's going to get them fired up. Miami's offensive line is, I know they haven't played anyone, but it's looking like one of the best in the country. They got a couple different running backs. They got an NFL-level quarterback in Tyler Van Dyke. I know they lack pass catchers, but defensively they've got a ton of impact transfers. Akeem Mesidor, incoming breakout game. One of the best corners in the country, Tyreek Stevenson. Like, Texas A&M has young talent, but I feel like outside of Devin Achane, who are you super excited about? I know my boy Layden Robinson, but a guard's not winning you this game.
Yeah, and Antonio Johnson, but a safety's not winning this game either. Like, yeah, I'm fading everything, Aggie. I'm taking the Hurricanes as well. Like,
because the Hurricanes to me are built to win a slug it out game, but they're also built to win the shootout. Because like Haynes King doesn't look good.
He's bad. He's really bad.
I don't know how Max Johnson didn't win that job. Like, Max Johnson looked better at LSU last year than Haynes King's looked.
Yeah, yeah, he's not good. Exactly. I think that's push comes to shove. You're getting 5.5. Miami's got the better quarterback. A&M has got the bad juju. They're going to do some cringe shit in the midnight yell. Come on. Take Miami.
Okay. Finally, you down to take this Fresno State USC game?
Yeah, let's do it.
10:30 on Fox. Hell yeah, baby. Stay up late. Pac-12 after dark. Mountain West after dark. Fresno State, 12.5-point dogs at number 7 USC. Fresno State coming off this heartbreaking loss to Oregon State. I like Fresno State here.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah. The USC's offense just looked too fucking powerful. And
USC's defense looks stinky.
That's fair. I think this is going to be a shootout. I think this is going to be, like, I think it's going to be, Stanford's going to be better than, Fresno's going to be better than Stanford was for sure. No, Stanford's not better
than anyone. Jake Hanner is the best quarterback in the G5, puts teams on his back. Jordan Mims is awesome. Jalen Cropper's a playmaker. I think this is like a 45-38 USC win.
I think it's like a late pull away, like a late second touchdown to cover, like a like 49-35.
What you forget is Evan Williams, the safety at Fresno State's my X factor.
Oh yeah, he's your guy.
He's my guy. USC's got a lot of transfers on the defense too. It's going to take some time. I mean, like, there's no slowing this USC offense. I respect that. I understand that. I just think Jake Hayner is the quarterback who can keep up.
You're kind of you got to just call the upset. I think you got to call the upset if you're going to pick the points.
I mean, it's the perfect upset situation where it's obviously the USC is probably being overranked because of the star power. Like, this team has a new coaching staff, has a lot of new players playing. They're at home in a late game against one of the best G5s who have an NFL talent at quarterback. Like, this is a perfect upset game.
USC has been so good at the letdown games, too, in the last decade. Like, it really is. It is a perfect upset game.
And no one will be watching because West Coast bias, like, everyone will be asleep. People will forget, and USC won't move down in the rankings when they lose.
I love that it's on, like, Fox. Like, not FS1, not any of this other bullshit. It's on Fox. They're doing us
a big favor.
Yeah. Appreciate it.
Fox knows what's up.
We always said that. We love all of Fox programming.
Amen. All right. Well, good luck to you. We'll be back tomorrow to talk NFL Week 1 rookies.